Famous56.com presents another classic WFIL air check. This is Voices of Yesterday from 1984. Ladies and gentlemen, Alan Stone.
This is Alan Stone. Be sure to join me tomorrow morning when the special series Voices of Yesterday, WFIL Boss Jocks, Where Are They Now? Continues here on Golden Oldies 56 WFIL. We'll continue to catch up with former Boss Jocks and find out what they've been doing since their years here at WFIL. So tune to Famous 56 again tomorrow morning as Voices of Yesterday, WFIL Boss Jocks, Where Are They Now? Continues only on Golden Oldies 56 WFIL. David, when you talk about the real glory days of WFIL in the late 60s and early 70s, one name and one voice comes to my mind first.
Friday night, a million-dollar weekend. And a million-dollar weekend encompasses a lot of things. This weekend, of course, it includes giving away copies of the Summer Love Oldies album. And Sunday night, the special hour with Mick Jagger, which will take place at 10 o'clock. And it also includes a lot of great memories from out of the past. And if you're a student of the history of rock, you know this man to be one of the most important people in music. Ladies and gentlemen, this is
George Michael ruled the roost in the evening here almost from his inception in September 1966. He left 7 years later, the king, as he was called, to follow his first love, sports.
I went to ABC in New York, and I went there to do really three things. One was some work for ABC Wide World of Sports, also to work on WABC Radio, and also to do the Islanders hockey games. I enjoyed all of it. It was a good experience, but it left me wanting a whole lot more. And so something good happened, and that was that NBC came to me and made us a very nice offer to come here to Washington to set up really a whole new operation, which is what we've done.
And later this morning, David, we'll look into some of the things that George Michael is doing in D.C. David, earlier this morning, we talked about George Michael, his days at WFIL, and his travels since. Now, we in Philadelphia remember him from his days of boss jocking at night.
George Michael!
Watch for music, WFIL!
But in September, you'll be able to see George as he is now, a sportscaster and one of the country's very best. So good, in fact, that NBC, his employer in Washington, has decided to take him network.
We'll be starting a network show. It'll be called the George Michael Sports Machine. It premieres on Sunday, September the 2nd, and it'll be seen coast to coast, so wherever you are, we'll be with you on Sunday night.
It's the first time a network has tried such a venture late nights on a regular basis, and there's no guarantee that Channel 3 in town will carry it, at least not yet. And by the way, David, George says he misses a good cheesesteak.
Hey! Dick Patterson!
Famous 56 WFIL!
Dick Heatherton didn't stay with WFIL very long, a couple of years, but I talked with him and he sure remembers.
Every once in a while I get down to your neck of the woods, and it's so good to hear that Alan Stone WFIL news. Oh, what a way to start a show.
Yeah, truth is truth, Dick. Thank you. Now, as for you, I catch your act, too, afternoons in the Big Apple when I'm there on WCBS-FM, which is like WFIL and Oldies Station. As a matter of fact, I remember the first day that you came here to WFIL from Hartford, Connecticut, and as I recall, you were just a little nervous. You told me at that time that you always wanted to work here. But then Program Director Lee Sherwood, as I recall, it wasn't so hot on you. Still, you seem to have made out very well. Later this morning, David, we'll see and remember how Dick Heatherton made his mark on Famous 56. Well, David, as I keep in touch with all the guys that went through WFIL in the glory days, one thing seems to ring true: the pride everyone had in this city and this radio station. Dick Heatherton, who did middays here for a couple of years, is now in New York, remembers.
Philly, oh, there's just something about Philly. I always remember back in 1969, 1970, there was a sign that we had. It was Famous 56, Philadelphia, a WFIL of a town. And WFIL in Philadelphia, they're synonymous.
Hey, Dick, tell me what happened to you after you left here. You kept in touch with another FIL alumnus, didn't you, J.J. Jeffrey?
I went from WFIL to a station in Dallas, Texas, known as KLIF. Now, KLIF, as I'm sure you know, was one of the first top 40 stations in the country.
and it has a legend behind it. But when I got there, it just wasn't WFIL. And then sure enough, JJ left and went to WLS in Chicago. And he hadn't been there 2 days, and he called me from Chicago down to Dallas where I was and said, it's just not WFIL.
Believe me when I say to you, I know how you feel, Dick. Best of luck at WCBS-FM in New York. And tomorrow, David, we'll talk with J.J. Jeffrey. J.J. Jeffrey. David, I remember him as the afternoon man, B.D., before Donovan. As a matter of fact, there was a time here at WFIL when Donovan preceded J.J. I remember him as a good man, a bit on the egotistical side, though. I mean, who would demand they name the building after him as a condition for his coming to work there? Well, now, J.J.'s in management, ownership, actually, of 5 radio stations across America.
We have 3 country stations, an album rock station, a top 40 station, and a Spanish station.
Wait a minute. Knowing you, J.J., I'm sure you're probably managing the Spanish station, right?
No, I'm not. We have a gentleman by the name of Jose Reynoso, who's the program director. He's known around the station as the Hoser.
The what? You haven't changed. Later this morning, David, J.J. and I will look back at some of his fond memories of WFIL. David, he rocked this town with his own highbrow, if you will, sense of humor.
J.J. Jeffrey!
Watch for music, WFIL.
Favorite memory number one is going on the Boss bus, driving downtown, and waving to the people with the Boss ladies, also making it possible for Dangerous Dan Donovan to come to WFIL. I was personally responsible for bringing him there.
Wait a minute. You're taking credit for that? But hold on, JJ. That first day here at WFIL, that was something.
I will never forget the first day, Al. I'm in a convertible, and we're driving down downtown Philadelphia in a parade. And it's all for me. That has never happened to me before or since in my career.
JJ, you've moved on to broadcast management now, and your fans can find you on K-Pop Radio in Sacramento, California. Thanks for remembering with us. David, I have to tell you, there was one guy who went through here, not exactly the biggest guy in town size-wise, but his voice more than made up for it.
WFIL, Philadelphia. Non-stop music.
Tom Tyler!
Watch for music, WFIL.
Tommy is still spinning the hits, only now he's in New England.
I've been up in Hartford, Connecticut since I left FIL, as a matter of fact, working for WTIC-AM up here. It's a 50,000-watt station. And without trying to brag at all, I've got to tell you that it is the number one station in the country, according to the last ratings nationwide. And very good folks, and having a good time in New England, which is, after all, my original home area, because I grew up in Rhode Island, of course.
Tom, nice to see that you've gone from one station of the year in WFIL to another in WTIC. And if you don't think Tommy's at home in Hartford, his wife now runs a personnel agency that they jointly own. New England Personnel Incorporated opened last December, and it's doing quite well, thank you. Later today, David, we'll remember with Tom Tyler. David, Tom Tyler did a number of things for WFIL, mostly because his voice was highly recognizable, second, in my opinion, only to George Michael's. Tom, you were such a big part of this station, I remember all the great times we shared together, particularly when we'd get out to meet the people.
And of course, the double-decker bus and the boss chicks and all the clubs that we were at and the many functions. And I'll tell you, and the guys, Dr. Don Rose and... unfortunately, Jim O'Brien isn't with us anymore. Another one of the great people that I remember working with. Just a super staff. And well, the one thing that's good about it, though, is that you can go to Philadelphia today, which I often do, and you drive through and you punch up 56, and there it is, and it all comes back.
Well, thanks, Tom. It's good to see that you like what we're doing. And one more thing. Could you do that ID just one more time?
WFIL, Philadelphia, is boss. And it is.
Still hasn't lost it, has he, David? When we started looking for a late-night disc jockey, David, I know the management was in the market for someone a bit out of the ordinary in the early 70s, but the man they found, well, he was something else again.
My engineer is injured. I thought I'd bring it up. He got a little mark around his eye. He got bitten by a fox. Certainly was very foxy. She was about 18, about 5'8 and a half.
I mean, this guy was unusual.
Did she buy him? Three dog nights!
Brother Love!
Actually, Brother Lee Love, get it? Hey, if your real name was Alan Smith, you might want something just a little more grabbing, although I like Stone myself. Anyway, the brother is out of radio now doing record research in Columbia, Maryland. What's this all about?
Well, we run a competition for radio program directors and music directors, and we ask them to listen to 5 records a week for 40 weeks and tell us at the point of listening if that record is a hit. And the guy who picks the most hits wins a Mercedes.
Jay Myers, are you listening? Later this morning, David, I'll talk more with Brother Love about his days, or better yet, his nights at Famous 56. David, as I took the time over the last several weeks tracking down those who helped make WFIL a powerhouse in the 60s and 70s, one thing always seemed to come out as a favorite. Down to a man, the Helping Hand Marathons meant the most. Brother Lee Love remembers.
And the highlight marathon was 1975, which I was always very proud of the fact that after I left the station every year, I was invited back for the marathon. So we did marathons from 71 through the last one was 76, I believe, or 77. And the 75 marathon with John Lennon, that was probably the highlight of all the time I spent in Philadelphia.
Oh, yeah, the John Lennon marathon. We will not ever forget that. He spent the whole weekend with us, answered the phones, helped raise the most money that we ever did on a Helping Hand marathon. Who knows, we may even bring that back again someday. Anyway, thanks for remembering with me. And by the way, any parting message?
Well, I have a message for Philadelphians. I still love you.
You see, David?
And go Phillies.
The brother still is loyal. I remember the day, David, that George Michael went to the then president and general manager, Jim DeCaro, and said he was leaving, going to New York to pursue a sports career. Well, this put management in a bit of a tizzy, to say the least, because who was going to replace the king? Joe, welcome aboard, and my best to your family up there in Scranton.
I certainly will, and a meatball to you too, Stoney. My mother still cooks the best sauce in the world.
You know, David, Joe worked here for about a year and a half, and then traveled through the U.S. and even Canada, believe it or not. Now he owns 2 Pennsylvania radio stations, but still gets into town a lot. Right, Joe?
It was certainly a great move to change WFIL from what it was doing to oldies, because it recaptures some of the excitement and great songs you can't get anywhere on a station where you probably heard them most.
Tell you what, Joe, later this morning, we will talk about, dare I say, the Banana-a-mobile. David, to say that Banana Joe Montione was a strange character really does not do him justice. I mean, how often do you find the girl of your dreams in a gorilla suit? Believe it or not, he married the girl who was part of the Banana Mobile promotion in the mid-70s here at WFIL. They're divorced now, but he still keeps in touch. Hey, wait a minute, Joe. I remember the day some students at Villanova pulled a pledge prank on you.
I gotta tell you, the one thing from L.A. to Canada to Florida to anywhere I'm at, everyone remembers, is the night they stole my banana off the Banana-mobile. And obviously we got it back because goodness knows I have to have a banana to keep going, right? But I have to say, that was an interesting memory to keep in mind, too.
Anyway, Joe, I know your lifelong dream at the time was to replace George Michael here on WFIL, and you did it. Now you're the owner of 2 Pennsylvania radio stations, and I know, David, that you join me in wishing Banana Joe the very best. Evenings were always special to us on WFIL, David, important because we were going for the young people then, and next to mornings, that's when they listened the most. George Michael had left, and so had Banana Joe. We went looking for a mainstay, and we found him. Joel tells me that George and the late Jim O'Brien were probably his greatest influences. What happened after FIL?
Well, I went down to Miami to a radio station called 96X, and I programmed that station. And the company I worked for at the time, Charter Broadcasting, eventually moved me to a program KCBQ in San Diego, and then KSLQ in St. Louis. From there, I went to Baltimore and put a radio station called B104 on the air. And shortly after doing that, I left them and joined Radio and Records about 4.5 years ago.
And he's now chief editor of what's called the Contemporary Hit Radio, or CHR, chart for the trade publication. He's got some stories to tell, David, some rather strange ones, which we'll discuss later this morning. David, I'm not really sure I should discuss this. Oh, why not? Let's just say that when we used to be on City Line Avenue before we moved to Roxborough, the hallowed halls of WFIL were known for more than an occasional prank. It kept up the morale and actually contributed to some of the silliness that you heard on the air those days. Joel Denver remembers.
Well, one of the favorite things to do was to examine the different things that permeated the hallways and laboratories, and now and again we'd find some snakes in the men's room, and how they got there we never knew, but they would invariably show up from time to time, especially on the weekends. And the weekends, of course, were the favorite times for hockey games in the hallways. During long records, the engineers and the disc jockeys would get together and try and put one on the old net at the other side of the hallway, especially during the Flyers' heyday when they were in Stanley Cup fever.
So that's how the window to my office was broken so many times on Monday mornings. I'll bet you don't have nearly as much fun writing for Radio and Records, huh? By the way, Joel, I hear you're getting married next month to a girl you met in L.A. some 2.5 years ago, and we certainly want to wish you good luck on that. And with all that's happened to you, Joel, is there anything you miss about good old Philadelphia?
Yeah. Will you tell somebody out here in Los Angeles how the hell to make a good cheesesteak?
David, as we spend these 2 weeks of my vacation reminiscing, another veteran WFIL boss jock looks back.
Dave Parks!
Much more music, WFIL.
Back in the line, beep, beep, solid gold, Tommy James. The flip side is from The Godfather called Dragging the River. 113.
I guess some of my fondest memories, of course, were with the family of WFIL personalities, one of whom, I understand, has returned, DFD, Darn Funny Dan in the Morning. I guess the old Latin Casino, where we'd all go and see the big acts, I guess that's a thing of the past now. And how can you forget South Philadelphia with the Philadelphia cheesesteak? Interestingly enough, there are 3 Philadelphia steak sandwich shops here in San Diego, but nothing can touch the original South Philadelphia.
No, you're right about that. David, tell you what, a half dozen Pat's steaks are on their way out west. By the way, the best of Jay Cook, who I understand is your boss these days. And tell you what, David, we'll talk to Jay Cook tomorrow. We'll spend today, David, talking with Jay Cook. Now, you may remember him when he first came to WFIL in the pop explosion as our midday boss jock. But he was destined for bigger and better things almost immediately when he was promoted to program director. He was the guiding force, if you will, behind the WFIL success years. Still, there were days when Jay Cook just couldn't resist getting back behind the mic.
Hey! Jay Cook! Famous 56 WFIL!
So it's Jerry Hill Park. That's Billy Joe Royal at WFIL, the 2:33 computer quiz time.
Jay, you are one who sure remembers those good old days, but the question is, do you think they'll ever come back?
I expect, and I've talked to most of the other guys over from time to time about the years we spent in Philadelphia. We don't ever expect to duplicate that experience again. That's probably my fondest memories in my broadcast career, and frankly, I don't ever expect that kind of experience again, and that's okay, because it'll always be a special place.
No question about that, but Jay, don't blame us for trying to bring back those wonderful days in this year of 1984. Later this morning, we'll look at Jay's fondest memories from his time at the helm of WFIL. Jay Cook, the man who behind the scenes made WFIL, is now making his mark in the Gannett radio chain, where he is vice president for broadcast operations. He also doubles as general manager of WIQI, a top 40 station in Tampa, Florida. It's safe to say, ladies and gentlemen, that many of the ideas he used to make WFIL a giant in the broadcast industry are now in use in the Sunshine State. Still, Jay, I remember one year, our current GM, Mr. Bruce Holberg, was programming WIP. If you remember, he tried to upstage you that year with the balloon race from the foot of the Ark Museum. Now, we were using the line, "I love you, Philadelphia."
Bruce thought it'd be funny if he had an airplane carrying a banner to circle the area saying, "Philadelphia loves WIP," which was not a bad idea. Only one thing went wrong. When the plane flew over the area, the banner was not only upside down, but it was backwards.
Very creative, Bruce. Jay, rest assured, Bruce learned his lesson from that occasion and is now running a steady ship here at WFIL. David, we've spent the past 2 weeks remembering the glory days of WFIL and where our friends have gone since then, but no retrospective would be complete without this man.
Jim O'Brien, WFIL Music.
Randy, it's done by Looking Glass, and it's been a long time summertime hit on WFIL. 1022 with Jim O'Brien.
Jim, of course, is no longer with us, killed tragically, as you recall, last September when his parachute failed to open on time during a jump. His love for skydiving and motorcycling, I remember well, was topped only by his drive to be the very best at whatever he did, whether it was here on WFIL or on Channel 6, where he really made his mark. In 1978, Jim returned to WFIL to recall his years as midday and morning man. He told us at that time that he thought the remarkable rise of the rock group Three Dog Night was his fondest musical memory.
I remember there were several weekends and several opportunities on various shows for us to look back and simply take tremendous number of hits that they had and sort of put them together in a long string, and those were some of the most exciting shows that I ever did. During this particular era, many of us kept thinking that there was going to be some type of great dramatic surge like the Beatles had put on back in the 60s. It never really came.
Later this morning, David, we'll again remember our good friend Jim O'Brien. Certainly, there are very few people in the Delaware Valley, David, who don't remember the late Jim O'Brien. He, of course, started his Philadelphia career with a 6-year stint at WFIL before moving on to Channel 6. His high energy level showed in his air work.
Jim O'Brien,
Weiss Quick tells me we've got a winner. Way to go, partner. Motown Magic, Jackson 5, looking through the windows. Jim O'Brien digs that ditty. It's 1028 on WFIL.
But with all the things he did here, he told us back in 1978 that his fondest personal memory was every year the station held its Helping Hand Marathon.
Very near the top of the list for me has to come the tremendous influence of our radio station in this community for good. Because when I came to town, the word marathon was literally bouncing off the walls. Everybody was talking about how every year, at least once, we put on this tremendous charity marathon for kids, folks less fortunate than us. And it was such a total effort that everybody simply got swept up in it. I experienced several of those during my time at WFIL. And I can only say, as I have said so many times, that the tremendous warmth generated by this radio station to the community and from the community back to this radio station is a phenomenon that is unlike any I've ever seen anywhere, and I've been back and forth across this country several times.
David, probably the best memorial that could be paid to Jim came in this month's Philadelphia Magazine in its best and worst section, the best weatherman, Jim O'Brien, under which it said, "We still miss you, Jimbo."